God's blessings to our lives are mentioned in the pages of the Bible, but there's no greater blessing that's mentioned than our Lord Jesus when he talked about the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26 at verse 28, when he said, "This is my blood," speaking of the New Testament fruit of the vine, added to the unleavened bread. He said, "This is my blood. This cup represents my blood, shed for many for the remission of sin." He says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this fruit of the vine, you show forth the Lord's death till he come. I will not eat and drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." That word "new" is a special word. New can mean new in reference to time, or new can be in a new manner. And when Jesus used this particular term here, he was speaking of the time that he would be in heaven, and spiritually speaking, he would recognize the partakers on earth of his blood, of the representative blood of the New Testament, of the fruit of the vine. And thus it is for many, shed for many, my blood is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Now, uniquely, this particular same terminology is used by Simon Peter in Acts chapter 2 at verse 38, in the which he tells people on the day of Pentecost who said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When they recognized that they were guilty of murdering the Son of God and were, in fact, a menace charged successfully with that act, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Simon Peter replied to them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice that in this connection, it's the same phraseology that is used by Jesus back in Matthew 26 at verse 28. "My blood shed for many for the remission of sins. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." In reference to this "for the remission of sins," the same terminology being used, it would have to mean the following. By all scholars alike, they agree. When we find that the blood of Jesus was it shed because the sins of man were already remitted? Or was the blood of Jesus shed so that man's sins might be remitted? Well, we know the latter is true. His blood was shed not because the sins were already forgiven, but because this would make it possible for the sins to be forgiven. Thus, in Matthew 26 and 28, Jesus' blood was going to be shed for many, for or unto the remission of their sins. In Acts chapter 2 at verse 38, "Is it not then true that repentance and baptism into Christ for the remission of our sins is based upon the fact that it is in order to obtain the remission of our sins and not because our sins are already remitted?" If we say that Acts 2:38 in the form that it is in is because the sins of man have already been remitted, then we must of necessity go back to Matthew 26:28 and attest to the fact that the blood of Jesus was shed because the sins were already remitted. Can we say that that is the truth? Or can we rather say that Jesus came for a noble purpose, and that he fulfilled that purpose in the shedding of his blood, offering the remission of sins for mankind, and that you and I today, just like the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38, need to repent of our sins and be baptized unto the remission of those sins, so that we might be added by the Lord to his church, Acts 2 verse 47, "And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved." Notice that in reference to the church of our Lord, it's referred to in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. As Christ being the head of his church, he is the Savior of the body. And notice that it is said that as he gave himself for his church, so ought a man to love his wife and give himself for her as well. There's a tenderness and a love for help, and our Lord wanted to help the people who were lost in sin. Our lesson today, then, is the idea of being in Christ so that we might be where the Lord wants us to be, He wants to pardon our sins. He wants to forgive us of our sins. He wants us to live with Him forever and forever. Notice that our Lord Jesus, when He talked about this occasion in Matthew 26 and beginning at verse 52, noted to Simon Peter that as he was arrested and Simon drew his sword to cut off the ear of Malchus, who was the servant of the high priest, Jesus said, "Put up thy sword into its sheath. They who live by the sword will perish by the sword." This is a physical way of life, and it's not the spiritual way that I'm teaching you, Simon. Think not that I could now speak to my Father, and presently He would send more than 12 legions of angels that I might not be delivered into the hands of these outlandish Jews. Yet He said in the very next verse, "If that were true, how then would the Scriptures be fulfilled?" How would the Scriptures be fulfilled if Jesus had stopped that process at that point in time? If He had allowed Simon Peter to stop that process in that very same time, how would it have been possible that the Scriptures or the prophets would have been fulfilled? It wouldn't have been possible. He would have been a false teacher. He would have been misrepresenting the cause of the prophets. There would be someone else to come to fulfill those words. And yet those words were so specifically directed that Jesus was the only person in all of time that could fulfill the words of the great prophets of God. Thus we see that Jesus came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, and to offer to all of mankind, Jews and Gentiles alike, the remission of their sins. Read there in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under that law." And go on to not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles alike, and offer to them the hope of eternal salvation. What does the Lord wish to do to our lives? He wishes to save us from our sins. And as the offer to save us from our sins is made possible, we must accept that offer. We must accept that way if we were to be forgiven of our sins and live eternally with Him when life here on earth is past. What do you think about this? Won't you take a look at the original languages there? Take a look at the form of Acts 2:38 and Matthew 26, verse 28. Take a look at Jesus' hope that He gave us in fulfilling the words of the prophets there in Matthew 26, beginning at 52, and in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Notice that in the close of Galatians 4, He mentions to us how that message came from Jerusalem, which is above. And that's the message we're to preach and proclaim today, as I understand it. I'd love to hear from you and your thoughts about this particular lesson study today. Thank you for your time and your study with us. This is Robert Rawson at the Crockett Church of Christ, making this lesson possible for you today.